What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Dolphins Net Podcast, and Happy New Year. I'm Daniel Yafusi. That is David Neal. Thanks so much for tuning in. Quick reminder before we start, make sure to subscribe to the Miami Herald YouTube page, like, share, comment, all that good stuff. Now, we've got a lot to talk about today, this episode. A lot of stuff with the Dolphins, five-game losing streak, out of playoff position, week 18, regular season finale coming up. But obviously, there's a lot of more important and bigger NFL news that developed in the last 24 hours. If you're watching Monday night's game between the Bills and the Bengals, you saw Bills safety Damar Hamlin unfortunately collapse, going into cardiac arrest in the middle of the first quarter. It was a very, very scary scene that unfolded in Cincinnati at Packer Stadium. Medical professionals rushed out there. What was later announced was that he stopped, his heart stopped for a moment. He had to be given CPR, a defibrillator. He was later transported by ambulance to the University of Cincinnati Medical Center, a level one trauma center, where he's currently in a critical condition. He's in the intensive care unit. Just a very, very scary incident that occurred last night, and that game was suspended and later postponed, and the NFL now announcing on Tuesday that game won't resume this week, and the current week 18 schedule will remain unchanged as of now. But obviously, first and foremost, our thoughts, our prayers, our condolences, our concerns are with, Damar Hamlin, and, his family and everything going on. Just wanted to kind of really start with that and, just give our reaction with, again, a really scary incident. I want to start off with Sam by, in Miami, we've seen, just a couple months ago, we've seen, on that very same field, Tua, hit his head, go into a fencing posture, had to be carted off on a stretcher, just in a very similar fashion as last night. And, I think that, a couple months ago when that happened, that in itself was a very sobering reminder of, the brutality of this sport, how dangerous a sport it is. I mean, it's a sport that we all love. We love to watch it. We love to talk about it, write about it for a living, but it was a reminder of just how dangerous the game is. I mean, personally, I've never seen anything like that, just in listening to a lot of reactions. I mean, it was really kind of an unprecedented situation in terms of, what actually happened. We've seen a lot of people, sustain, injuries where they have to be carted off, sustain head injuries, like with Tua, where they're carted off and whatnot. But, you quickly understood the magnitude of that situation last night when, they come back from break and there's really no update. And then later on, you start to hear about him getting CPR. I mean, you start to hear of how dire of a situation it is. And, thankfully he was able to get the medical attention on the field before he was transported to the University of Cincinnati Medical Center. But again, it's just very, very sad, very unfortunate. Even throughout Tuesday, me watching and listening to a lot of the medical professionals that were on the various sports shows, for them to talk about, just how important that time was that he was on the field, because there was a lot of reports that he was given CPR, chest compressions, for almost 9 minutes. That he was given some oxygen as well, but he was given chest compressions in that moment. So just to hear that, cardiac arrest, all stuff like that with the heart, I mean, it's always sad and unfortunate, regardless of how old you are. But I mean, this is a guy who's 24 years old. I mean, I'm 25, very close in age. So to hear of that happening to somebody so young and on a routine play, no less, where he was just kind of making a tackle, he falls to the ground and he gets up and he collapses. Just very, very unfortunate. But, it's been great to see the outpour of support from, the entire NFL community. There was a link that was going around yesterday and today of, a toy drive that he started a couple years ago, where he was trying to raise money to give toys to less needy, to, families who aren't able to pay for it themselves. And, it was up to a couple thousand dollars, last night. And, just 24 hours later, it's reached, $3-4 million. So it's been great to see the way that the whole NFL community has rallied around him in this moment, and that Bills community and his family. Obviously, again, the game's been postponed. It's not going to be played this week. Not really sure when it's going to be played. The week 18 games, including the Dolphins game, is, set for now. But again, just very unfortunate, and you're just kind of praying and hoping that you hear some better news. So we're definitely hoping for the best and hoping for some positive news in the coming days.
Well, and the scariest part, I think, for any for most of us, is that it was a very normal looking play. Even more, just another play than the Tua injury earlier, where you can at least say, okay, he got thrown down. Like, he didn't get thrown down. You knew there it was a normal looking play, but you can still say, okay, I can see that. This was as garden variety, as much of a Tuesday play as there is, as there was, as you'll see. And obviously it didn't come from the play. Obviously there's the young man has some other things going on there. But it's very jarring, and I think it's also jarring because we don't like to be reminded not only of the brutality of football, but the fragility of life, period. We don't, as so people like to say, well, tomorrow is not guaranteed. Now that I know a lot of people, and I'm taking to say, tomorrow not guaranteed, tonight's not guaranteed. Two hours from now is not guaranteed. I write breaking news these days. I see, write about, see reports of, see official reports of people who woke up, I'm sure woke up that day, and they had all kinds of plans for the next week, the next few months, next year. Not going to happen. And it was something I told my daughter the day of the Parkland tragedy. She was in 7th grade, and I said, "There, I'm sure there are some people, there are some of those parents who, something happened that morning. There was an argument. They fussing each other, whatever. And I let somebody get out of that car angry and just left." And that's the last you, that was their last interaction. So one of the things I always said to her, when we leave each other, let's hug each other, tell each other we love each other, and look, don't make perfunctory, look in the eyes. Let's make eye contact so we know we mean it. It might seem a little dark because you don't know. And stuff like last night just hammers home. You don't know that, NFL players, people don't understand how much fitter than the average population in general that NFL players are, NHL players, NBA players. That they're, how much, bigger, faster, stronger, blah, blah, blah. A lot of them, the veterans, they've learned to eat, their eating habits have, they've improved their eating habits over their careers. Just, oftentimes how healthy these people are, how, in a way physically superior they are. Champions are born and made. And when you talk about champions, you could say, professional athletes are born and made. And so for this to happen to this young man, just doing what he does for a living, is very jarring, as you said about the sport. But I think it also hammers home to a lot of people, life is the game of life can end at any time. And We don't like to be reminded of that. You know, it's a little, always a little, it's always a little jarring when you are reminded that, you know, when you see a tragedy that, you know, an out of nowhere tragedy. It's not like somebody's doing something they shouldn't be doing, or got themselves into a bad position or something, or, you know, this wasn't, there was nothing about this that was, you know, where you say, oh, well, you know, why did they let him on the field? The two answers was like, you know, questioning whether or not he should have been playing or not. Yeah, there is nothing about this that says yet that we know of. As far as we know, this was a fully, you know, obviously, you know, as far as we know, this is a healthy, very healthy, supremely healthy young man, and who is now fighting for his life. And when he should be in his age group, nearly at his, you know, physical peak for being a professional athlete. That's very unsettling. And it's
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's just another, really sobering reminder of the brutality of the sport. It's not what anybody wishes, hoped for, anticipated. I mean, we
I'm not
all.
even sure it's the brutality of the it's the brutality of the sport. Because look at the
Well,
play.
yeah, I mean,
It's
but exactly, it's things that you wouldn't you. It
it
seemed like a routine tackle, but again, I mean, with the physicality, I mean, these players are so
what
fast,
you
so powerful, so strong. I mean, obviously,
right.
we're still waiting for more kind of news, and there's going to be a lot of tests and kind of review it to figure out exactly what happened. But again, I mean, it's a very violent physical sport. It's nothing that we've seen on a field before. A lot of people, I don't think anybody has really seen that. But again, it's a reminder of just how physical these players are and how physical that this sport is. It's an inherently violent game, and there's regardless of the helmets and the various pads and protections and rules that you implement, you can't take out the inherent violence in that sport, regardless of what you try.
There have been instances before, actually, of players knocked out nearly. I mean, the one of the most famous plays in the, you know, Philadelphia Eagles, New York Giants, 1960, Frank Gifford, who came to kind of resent that Chuck Bednarik, talked about this a lot over the years. Frank Gifford was a who went on to, you know, do Monday Night Football as a play-by-play guy for a long time. He was a halfback with the New York Giants. He was a star halfback. And he caught a pass over the middle, and Chuck Bednarik, who played kind of a middle linebacker sort of position with the Eagles, whose nickname was Concrete Charlie, and he played both ways. Well, Concrete Charlie caught Gifford coming over the middle with a just the ultimate like de-cleating shot, and Gifford was out. Gifford was like, I think he was like out. He was knocked out of the game for like a year on this shot, and it literally almost did kill him. But again, if you looked at that play when it happened, you were like, ooh, you know, this last night. And things, and you know, the human body is a funny thing. I heard somebody say today, you know, the similar things happen, you know, every few weeks across this nation in lower run games, in games that have less attention, not even football games, you know, where just something, you know, hits the chest wrong or something. I saw a kid when I was a kid, kid in my youth hockey league. He was 8 years old, for Pete's sake. It took a puck to the chest. I don't think he had, shoulder pads on because it was kind of a screw around time. And that was it. Who knows if he just got hit wrong or if there was something else going on already that the contact, exacerbated. We don't know yet. And obviously those answers will be coming, but that's what I'm saying. It's not this was a very this was not it's a brutal game, but this wasn't especially this wasn't especially brutal or didn't appear to be. But but then again, maybe that's to your point that, even the average football play is something that, can be dangerous, very, very ultimately dangerous to the human body.
Yeah, not for sure. I mean, the emotions on the broadcast of that, the broadcast capture of the players. I mean, a lot of them in tears. Really, I mean, I know they showed the replay a couple times, and then after a while, they kind of made the decision that it really wasn't necessary. But the emotion kind of told the story. So obviously, again, our thoughts and prayers are with DeMar Hamlin, this family that builds community, and definitely hope that we hear some positive news in the coming days. We're gonna take a short break, but when we come back, we're gonna shift back to the Dolphins. Five game losing streak now after a defeat in Foxborough. Who's to blame? Can they win their week 18 game against the Jets? They need some help, but doesn't even matter with the quarterback situation. We're going to discuss that and more, so stay locked with us. What's going on, everybody? Still here on the Dolphins in Depth podcast with David Neal. Now, the first half, we were touching on the DeMar Hamlin situation in Buffalo. Obviously, unfortunately, collapsing, going into cardiac arrest. Now in critical condition at the University of Cincinnati Medical Center. But, definitely want to try to switch gears a bit back to the Dolphins. The collapse, the second half collapse continues for Miami. As I said before, a fifth consecutive defeat, this time to the New England Patriots, 23-21. Obviously, Tua did not play in that game, as expected after he was diagnosed with the second concussion this season. But there were also a couple more key players that joined him on the sideline that didn't play in the game. Xavien Howard, Teron Armstead, and Bradley Chubb all missing that game because of respective injuries. Mike McDaniel didn't want to blame that loss on their injuries, but obviously in a key matchup, a game that could have clinched the team's first franchise, the team's first postseason berth since 2016. Those guys were definitely missed. And it was another game where, it was marked by a quarterback injury. Teddy Bridgewater got the start. He played fairly well until a really backbreaking pick six that gave the Patriots the lead. It appears Teddy was hurt, dislocated his pinky on that play while trying to make a tackle. Skylar Thompson came in, the rookie, the seventh round pick, just wasn't really able to rally the Dolphins. He throws an interception. The Dolphins, the Patriots convert that into a touchdown to really put the game away. And the Dolphins are now out of a playoff spot in the AFC. They entered the game as the seventh seed. The Patriots are now in possession of that. The Dolphins are no longer in control of their own destiny. They not only need a win against the Jets on Sunday to keep themselves in playoff contention, but they need the Bills now to beat the Patriots, knock them out of that seventh spot to regain that wild card position. Now, there's a lot of question marks entering this Sunday game. I think first and foremost, the quarterback situation. Mike McDaniel saying on Monday that he's not really preparing for Sunday as if Tua is going to be available. He's preparing as if Teddy, an injured Teddy Bridgewater or Skylar Thompson will play. Obviously, things are a lot different. This offense, this team is a lot different with Tua in the lineup as opposed to Teddy Bridgewater or Skylar Thompson. There's obviously some other injury concerns. Xavien Howard, Teron Armstead, and Bradley Chubb, as I said before, that they need to monitor. And then there's just the simple factor that, it's not really just on the Dolphins, to get into the playoffs. I mean, they have to look to the Bills Patriots game. And obviously we just spoke about the things that the Bills are going through. They're obviously not going to be playing that Cincinnati Bengals game this week. But I mean, in my opinion, I think that the week 18 schedule still might be up in the air. I mean, there's a lot of stuff at play right now. Obviously the Bills were in contention for a number one seed. We don't really know how the postponement of this game is really going to impact all of that right now. It very well could, because the Bills just might not be in a position where they're competing for the number one seed this weekend. And if not, they just might not feel as compelled to play a lot of their starters and key players. So there's a lot of stuff at play. I kind of want to take a step back and go big picture, because I know there's a lot of frustration amongst Dolphins Twitter, Dolphins fans, a lot of finger pointing, people blaming Mike McDaniel, people blaming Tua, people blaming the defense, Josh Boyer, Chris Greer. And as I thought about, like, who deserves the blame for the second half collapse. And it was interesting, because I thought about when we spoke about this team right before the season started, and we gave our kind of preseason predictions, and I said, barring health, I think that was the main thing that we had said. Barring health, this is a team that on paper should be very competitive and pretty good if things bounce their way, especially with health. And we see now a 500 team, an 8-8 team that is kind of been beset by the injury bug in recent weeks. And I guess if you want to blame somebody, or say somebody who's one person is at fault, I wouldn't do this. But I think there is something to be said for the front office, which is led by the general manager, Chris Greer, devoting and investing significant capital, whether that be draft picks or salary cap space, to players who have injury histories and injury questions. Now, when you look back at a high stakes game in week 17 in Foxborough, the Dolphins, I mean, they flat out, they if they won that game, they'd be in the playoffs right now. We're having a very, very, not a, maybe not a very, very different discussion, but the perception is a little bit different if they had won that game, because they needed to win that game and they needed the Jets to lose. Well, the Jets lost a couple of hours later, but it didn't matter, because the Dolphins didn't take care of their own business. But I put it in my game story. You looked at that game and all the guys who were out: Tua, Armstead, X, Chubb. Not only are they very important players, but they're all guys who have some sort of injury questions. Tua coming into the NFL, now the series of concussions that he's been diagnosed with, Armstead battling injuries all year. We know, I mean, that was like the one knock about him when the Dolphins signed him. It was, hey, if this guy can give us, 12, 13, 14 games, they're gonna be in a good position. Now, obviously, he's bought through a lot, but in, what was the biggest game of the season, he wasn't able to play. Xavien Howard kind of knocking knees in practice. He was dealing with a groin injury early in the year. He's dealt with some injuries in the past. Even Bradley Chubb, who they not only traded for and gave up a lot of draft picks, but they gave a big extension to, that was the one knock on him. Like, this guy is a great player, but he's had some injury questions. I said it when the season started. I was like, they have the talent at the key positions to be competitive, and we've seen that. Obviously, the four game winning streak, or the four game losing streak, hasn't, people, nobody really expected that after an 8-3 start. Dolphins haven't put their best product forward during that time, but they've still been pretty competitive during all those games. They haven't been perfect, they haven't looked great, but they've been pretty competitive. And when most healthy, they've been pretty competitive. And we said, hey, like, I think that the one thing that I also, and we had mentioned, is that, like, not only do you have to be really good to be successful in the NFL, but we kind of forget how lucky you have to be. Like sometimes you just have stuff bounce your way. I think earlier in the season, in terms of health, some of the ways some of the game outcomes kind of came out, shaked out, they were kind of lucky. I think that 8-3 kind of fooled all of us, because and to an extent, like, I always was kind of like a little skeptical, because I was like, hey, it is coming up, it is coming against kind of the weak, quote unquote, part of their schedule. We definitely wanted to see how they performed over this kind of four game stretch, five game stretch that in the season. And now we've seen that, hey, when faced with tougher competition, you know, maybe they aren't really what they appeared to be earlier in the season. Again, it's kind of going on in a roundabout way in terms of, you know, assessing blame. But obviously, if you want to kind of put it on the roster construction, you can do that. But truth be told, I mean, this is what happens in the NFL. I mean, injuries happen. There's a lot of teams with injuries. I mean, there's a lot of teams whose quarterback has been out, and they've been making a way to win games. So I mean, I gotta say, I mean, there's blame to go around. There's not one person that you can say, oh, like Mike McDaniel can be better. Mike McDaniel can be better in putting them in a position where they can win these games without Tua. The defense and Josh Boyer can be better where they're not giving up late drives every single time the offense needs a play. You know, maybe Chris Greer shouldn't have invested so much money in guys who have injury histories. I mean, there's a lot of blame to go around, but I don't think that obviously if they don't make the playoffs, I think that that would definitely that'd be a huge disaster. There'd be a lot of hard questions to ask during the offseason, but I don't think that it's some sign that the Dolphins rebuild and reboot or whatever has gone wrong. I mean, this happens a lot. You know, if they have a little better injury health, we're having a different question, and we're having a different story right here. So it's unfortunate. I mean, obviously, Week 18 can maybe change the perception a little bit. It kind of changed things around, and who knows what happens when you get in the dance. But I think that big picture, I don't think it's this big disgrace, and it's a collapse, no doubt. But I don't think that it's indicative of the Dolphins not doing the right things in terms of rebuilding this team, adding talent, and taking steps to be competitive and be a winner. I mean, they've been competitive, but obviously the injuries have kind of caught up to them, and the coaching staff, the players haven't done enough to overcome that.
Well, okay. Number one, there's never when you get down to whose fault is it? We all want the single shooter. Everybody, or all the fans want the single shooter. All fans want the single shooter because they want the Oswald, because that what that does is, oh, okay, if we just take that and fix that, then it'll all be okay. Well, that's not the case in football. It's not the case with any professional sports team. It's rarely the case with any business. It's rarely the case with any relationship. You know, there's really just one thing wrong. And it's more like, as Morgan Freeman said, somebody asked Morgan Freeman about bad movies, movies that he knew were not going to work while he's shooting them. And well, you know what? Why does a plane crash? Said, it's never just one reason. It's like five or six things have to go wrong for a plane to crash, usually. And it's the same thing with, when a team collapses, when a business goes under. And if you look at that, one of my favorite NFL ones, NFL top tens, one of my favorites is the 10 worst collapses, because that's kind of fascinating to me. Because one of the reasons it's fascinating is the various reasons those teams collapsed. And by the way, the number one is the 93 Dolphins, and it's the easiest one. Marino went down. Okay, Scott Mitchell comes in. He's playing well. Okay, he goes down. Like Doug Peterson comes in. You know, they were down to like their fourth or fifth quarterback by the end of the year. You know, and the only game they won late was the fluky, game on Thanksgiving where Leon Lett, slid into the blocked field goal. All he had to do was leave it alone. If he does that, they would have lost every game going down the stretch. And it was it, it that was injuries. But if you look at the other things on that list, there were things hap sometimes there were things happening for a team early in the season that were, that were good, that are things you can't rely on, and that are, cruel mistresses. And when they flip on you, they flip on you. One of them is the Denver Broncos, the first year Josh McDaniels was there. You have a rookie head coach. Things are going well early on. Things are going great. You're really feeling it. And then when things start to go against you, now how do you handle it? And do you know how to handle it? And everybody has learned somewhere, and sometimes that learning, that period of learning, if you don't have the raw talent on the field to kind of make up for your learning curve, well, guess what? You're going to have a losing streak. And sometimes injuries, sometimes, and you have just it, there's just such a different bunch of things that happen, and sometimes there's infighting on teams. It's fascinating to me why teams, have seasons, have big collapses. And I think with the Dolphins, you have a rookie head coach, you have had injuries, maybe did feast on you feasted on the part of the schedule that before the season that we looked at, and you better feast on that part of your schedule, or you're not going to be eating much. So all these things come into play, and yeah, when you give, when you give have serious money to players whose availability is questionable, or has it have a history, they're there most of the time. It's kind of like being on time most of the time. That's nice, but I want the person who's going to be there every week, or who's going to be there on time every day. As the modern cliche, first ability is availability.
Availability, yep.
Yep. And consistency of being there is underappreciated to me, and we've gotten to be kind of adrenaline junkies with things, with achievements and everything, and we kind of look down on, we don't recognize, maybe we don't, maybe not look down on, but just don't recognize the excellence in the guy who shows up every week, does his job well, and and he's like this, whereas we like, there's somebody else who's like that. Not saying you don't want Xavien Howard on your roster, or you don't want a Pro Bowl tackle on your roster, or you don't want a Tua on your roster, but you can't have too many guys at too many key positions
Yeah.
that might not be there when you gotta go beat the Patriots in Foxborough late in the season. So there's all these, the Dolphins have all these things in play, and this week's certainly not going to be, it's not going to be a stroll. The Jets play, Jets at least play well defensively, and we'll see how much, pride they have, or if they've got the U-Hauls packed up and ready to go. But I would think they would have some pride left. And, you have this Bills, you have this Bills Patriots game, which, how are the Bills going to come out?
I mean, there's a lot of question marks. I mean, I think there's legitimate question marks. I mean, stay real quick on the Dolphins game. We don't know who's gonna start. I think Teddy has been Teddy's I think Teddy's been serviceable. I thought he was serviceable until obviously his big interception. Skyler's obviously a rookie. I don't wanna pile on him too much because obviously he's a rookie and both of the games where he's played the most, I mean, he's been called upon, like he's had limited practice reps and then Teddy gets hurt and he's like, all right, you gotta go in there. Like, and he's essentially in a 2 minute drill as soon as he goes in. Like, I don't want to judge him too much. But
But he is what he is. He's a seventh round pick. He's a seventh round rookie who doesn't have much practice time.
Like I can't really criticize him too much. I mean, you get
That's
what you
what you're
paid,
going to
you get what you
get.
paid for. On
You
the
know what he is.
Jets front, there's been no like real concrete like definitive reporting, but I mean, I don't know if Mike White is like definitively going to start. I mean, obviously Zach Wilson is still on the fold. That's been a disaster this season. But I mean, there was some people that were kind of floating it. Hey, like Maybe he gets one last hurrah, one last chance to prove what he can do. If Zach Wilson is in there, that's a much easier offense to prepare for and defend. And then obviously, there's going to be a lot of scoreboard watching, and we just don't know what, like you said, you were kind of starting to allude to it, but we don't really know what to allude. We don't know to expect with a Bills team that has gone through what they've gone through, what their thought process might be, how they might approach that game. Because if they don't even, if they say, hey, we can't get the number one seed because of the way things shake out, we've had a very tumultuous week, we're just going to try to stay healthy, get ready for the playoffs, it might not even matter what the Dolphins do, to be honest, with that. So, I know, well, just kind of wrap up the previous point that we were talking about. I know the tenor that will come in with, especially me, isn't what fans want to hear after a frustrating loss, a fifth consecutive loss. They want heads to roll, and I completely understand that, because they're saying like somebody's got to be held accountable for this. But I don't want to do a postmortem. We still got one more week left. I mean, for all we know, I know the team said that McDaniel said they're not even counting on Tua to come back this Sunday. I'm not as well, but we just don't know. We don't know what how that status might develop. We don't know what they might do on Sunday. Heck, if they get in the playoffs, that's an extra week to extend their season. I don't know. I'm gonna wait till the season is officially done. We find out what happens week 18, and then we can do the postmortem if they don't make the playoffs. But I know a lot of people are wanting heads to roll. I don't think that they need, like, they don't need to blow this thing up. Like, this isn't some team that's like, all right, well, we tried everything we can, time to blow the whole thing up and get some new people. I don't think that that's the state of this franchise. Obviously, it seems like that because of the past 20 plus years or so. It feels like that after, in the midst of this 5-game losing streak, but I don't think that that's where this current franchise is in terms of the construction of this team. They had a lot of very unfortunate bounces the past couple of weeks with injuries, the way games have unfolded. It happens. I mean, shoot, Vegas had them at an 8, 8.5, their win total at 8.5. They're at 8 with one game left. I mean, we always say Vegas knows something. They knew something. I had them as an 11-win team. I think that barring health, if Tua plays a couple more games or all the games, I think they're right around an 11-win team. But again, we don't play this game in a vacuum with the sliders off and the injury sliders off. There's injuries, there's stuff. I mean, it's a crapshoot. You just never know once the season starts. But I don't think that this is I don't think the state of the team is at a point where we gotta blow everything up. There is gonna be some hard questions. I mean, again, I don't want to look too far to the offseason. There are gonna be some hard conversations and some hard decisions to be made. But let's give it one more week. I tend to think that the Dolphins are gonna come out, and they're gonna come out, they're gonna play hard, whether it's Teddy, whether it's Skyler. I just got a feeling they're gonna get the job done, and I just got a feeling that it's really hard to predict that Bills Patriots game. I have no clue what's gonna happen. I mean, shoot, I don't even know what's gonna happen tomorrow with the way the schedule is. Like, I still think that something weird might happen with the scheduling, because we have a game that was literally stopped last night, rightly so. So I don't even know what's gonna happen in the next coming days. But if they play all the week 18 games as scheduled, I just got a feeling that the Bills, they win that game, and the Dolphins kind of back in, so to speak, into the playoffs. And then we're kind of back next week talking about, oh, well, are they going to this city? What are the chances they can? I just got a feeling, maybe I'm being naive. I know a lot of Dolphins fans are kind of rolling their eyes while they're listening to this right now, but I just got a weird hunch. The Dolphins, they're not done yet. I don't know why. I just kind of feel that way.
I know everyone wants to dance around it. Nobody wants to say it, but you had to postpone that game last night. And but you also I don't know how do you go forward. I mean, if you just want to swallow it and say, okay, you almost have to cancel it. You almost have to say, okay, it's not
It
going to
doesn't
play.
count. Yeah, it doesn't
It's
come.
not, yeah, it's not going to be played. And because, rescheduling the game, creates all kinds of domino effects.
I don't think you can this late in the season.
And that's, and
Yeah.
people think, oh, well, why don't they just, no. There's a whole lot of moving parts here. And it's not as simple as let's move everything forward 1 week. 'Cause trust me, that Super Bowl host city, well, the tiki torches will be out and there'll be an NFL headquarters and they will burn that sucker down if you move that Super Bowl 1 week. Because there was a regular season game that had to be stopped. All the moving parts, all the things going on, that now that this gets real, this gets very interesting. I mean, this gets very interesting, and then just a cold, crass, what happens now way. And which is what, look, that is what we're going to eventually get back to this weekend. That's what we're going to get back to. And so here are the Bills. I'm sure they don't like the idea of, letting the Patriots have anything. Look, if you live in these other AFC East cities and you've had to put up with that team beating on you for 20 years, winning Super Bowls, winning the division every year, do and now you play in those cities and you feel that energy. I'm quite sure the Buffalo Bills, even though most of those players haven't only been there, what, 5 years, 6 years max, if that, I'm sure they're thinking, man, do we really want to let New England have anything? There's something there. Hey, let's, or maybe they come up with a, hey, let's get back into it. Let's use this to bring us tighter. And let's throw ourselves into this so we can deal with this near tragedy this way. And they might smoke the Patriots. And or they might, or they might just say, okay, throw up their hands. But you kind of don't know with them. And the Dolphins, this Dolphins Jets game looks, I mean, I know how the last one turned out on the scoreboard,
It
but
was close. It
this,
was a lot closer than the score than the first one.
right, and exactly. And so you go, oh boy, this is another one of those games. If I was betting it, I wouldn't be betting it, because it looks like it should be low scoring. It looks like, one of those, a turnover here or there decides a defense, whichever
That's
defense
essentially what the New England
maneuvers.
game was. I said it. I was like, hey, it's really a matter of like
Who
who can
makes them
avoid the play and
right?
who can make the big play on defense. And
And
the
we
Dolphins
saw.
weren't, and the Patriots were. So
And
yeah.
we saw, right. And that's another thing that's a cruel kind of a, the cruel mistress that can turn on you in a heartbeat or from season to season. Like, if you watch those teams, that they're very rarely do you have, there's only been select certain, like, near great or great teams that have been able to, like, year after year after year, they're high on the takeaway list. Usually, and I mean, this goes for the best teams and not the, and the best teams and very good teams. Usually, you'll have one great year, or maybe 2 great years, and then after that, you'll have a fall off. It doesn't mean
That's
your
the, I mean,
turnover margin won't be
yeah.
great, but there's teams that are consistent tend to have a really good turnover margin.
Yeah.
But that, all those takeaways, those Julian takeaways, like the Minnesota Vikings in the 70s used to have just ridiculous, like, years where they would average like 4 a game. And This is back when people that weren't really weren't throwing the ball, but 25 times a game at most. But that's one of the few teams you can look at throughout NFL history who year after year did that. So like when the Dolphins, you have a when you have a huge big year, usually you can see a kind of a regression to, the middle. And it's a regression to the mean, and it's a mean regression because you'll fool your fans will be disappointed. You'll be, the team's disappointed. Everyone, what's happening? We used to, we had, 25 takeaways at this point last year, and now at the same point we got eight. That's something that can flip on you year to year. I guarantee you next year the Patriots aren't scoring, what is it, like seven defensive touchdowns they have this year?
Like five straight games or something crazy like that.
That there are very few things I'd lay big money on, like my paycheck, but that's one of them, that they won't that won't happen again next year. And they might be better. They might be a better team, they might be a better defense. But that just won't happen because that relies on a couple other some other factors. Usually a mistake made by the other team. It's not just your great play, it's their mistake also. So which roundabout way back to the Dolphins Jets. That's why this is a very tough game to read because it's going to come down to again, somebody who makes a special teams play, or one or two special teams plays, or a few turnovers. And Dolphins special teams not the best this year. But then again, how many, you have what, two punt return touchdowns in the NFL this year, and both of them against the Jets? Weakness on weakness, there. And the turn, like I said, the turnover situation, that's always a little dicey. Early in the year, Dolphins are getting timely turnovers. Later in the year, not so much. And so and if you're talking Skylar Thompson playing against the Jets defense, he's gonna turn seventh round rookie at some point in the game. And or he's likely to. So all I'd say is, generally take the under. But yeah, this one could be 17-13. I'd go Dolphins on this, but only because they're probably the better team. They're the better team overall. But yeah, definitely. Definitely like a. I'm. Yeah, we're not getting Marino and O'Brien shooting it out.
Yeah, I mean it's again it's just very hard to read. I mean, there's a lot of factors at play, obviously, even not only with the quarterback situation, but as I mentioned before, a lot of the guys who missed last week's game, their status is still up in the air. And then again, you just it all doesn't mean anything if the Patriots don't lose that game to the Bills, and they're dealing with a lot of stuff that's bigger than the game right now. It's definitely gonna be it's gonna be an interesting week 18. I mean, there's a lot of different combinations and playoff permutations that are still at play and still can unfold this weekend. I'm sure a lot of people at Hard Rock Stadium will be watching the scoreboard for not only the game to see what's going on across the NFL. So it's gonna be interesting. And then again, obviously a lot there's bigger things than week 18 with DeMar Hamlin and his status. So again, as we continue to get closer to the weekend, we just hope and pray that we hear some positive news on a recovery from his point. It's definitely it's something that we haven't seen much like that, something like this in recent memory. We'll definitely be monitoring it on from all different phases. Well, that brings us to the end of another edition of the Dolphins in Depth podcast. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. As always, reminder to subscribe to Miami Herald YouTube page, subscribe to the Miami Herald, like, share. Definitely going to have a lot of updates on the Dolphins quarterback status. Mike McDaniel saying that he wants to, in the an ideal world, decide a starter by Wednesday so they can start getting first team reps for the regular season finale. So we're going to have a lot of updates on Wednesday as well as throughout the week. We'll be back next week to recap another weekend of Dolphins football. We don't know yet if
We don't know what the Dolphins will be.
we don't know if they'll be getting ready for another game, but we'll
We
be
gonna still be
here.
playing,
We'll
but
still be here. You guys enjoy the game this weekend, and we'll see you next week. But until then, take care. See you.